The next discussion point related to management of patients who are elderly or with a poor performance status. Dr. Lilienbaum re-presented data from ASCO demonstrating in PS2 patients an advantage for carboplatin paclitaxel over erlotinib. Dr. Sosinski commented on this challenging issue.
We all see patients who are poor performance status, and you chat with them, and, you know, 3 months earlier they were walking 18 holes of golf and they got sick because they got cancer. They really had no other comorbidities. I tend to, from a treatment point of view, be more aggressive with those patients than the other group of patients that I see that were, as you talk to them, they were sitting in their apartment on O2 2 years ago and have an ejection fraction of 25%. They aren't going to get better a lot with chemotherapy. So I take a different approach and tend to use single agents in those patients. But in the other patient where I think the performance status is really pushed by the cancer, I believe the CLGB and Ruggiero's data. I think two drugs are better than one in that setting.
Ruggiero, how do you approach PS2, either because of the tumor or because of underlying disease?
I think this is something we've discussed for a while now since the CLGB study was presented. I think it makes a lot of sense. And intuitively, you would like to approach these two subsets of patients a little differently. Yet, we have no prospective data, no validation that this is indeed the case. So I do what I think most people do here. If I have a patient who was relatively healthy 3 or 4 months ago and comes in with rampant disease-related symptoms and a rapidly dropping performance status, I think that patient should receive combination chemotherapy. A patient who's had a borderline functional status, comorbidities, et cetera, and the impact of the cancer on their overall performance status is either relatively minor or not accessible, so to speak, then I tend to be a little bit more cautious. Again, that's because it makes sense, but not because we have any data to that effect.
So what do you do?
The whole issue of comorbidities and performance status remains completely unclear, and we need to pursue this a little better.
But when you say cautious, what's your usual approach?
Then I use single agent therapy. For the first patient that we believe has a performance status that's low due to cancer-related symptoms, I will use a doublet, and so far I have not used bevacizumab in that setting. For a patient who has comorbidities, et cetera, then I use a single agent most of the times.
Jack?
I'm actually surprised by how convergent everyone was considering the range of options available. I would say that for the CALGB trial that Ruggiero presented and published, 9730, that we have all integrated that into our thought process, that it is certainly feasible and potentially optimal to give a carbo-based doublet chemotherapy to potentially reversible patients with performance status 2. However, we all know that those were patients who somebody thought it was at least feasible to give a doublet to, and that might not be every person who could be considered PS2, and probably was not as likely to be the patients who, because of comorbidity, would never rise above PS2. And I think that's part of why we have really a difference between single agent chemo as the prevailing choice for chronic PS2 and doublet for the reversible.
Mark?
The PS2 population is a very toxicity-sensitive population, and so therefore the toxicity risk may outweigh any potential benefit you get in a group of patients whose overall survival is significantly poorer than the PS0-1 patients.
I mean, that patient asks you, again, patient is perfectly healthy, has rapidly progressive, massive tumor, and what's the chance I'm going to be alive 3 months from now or 6 months from now?
Right. I mean, I think that is a more compelling argument to consider it in that type of population. Those patients tend to be different than, I think, perhaps the more typical PS2 patient, which has the comorbidity.
Sure.
So from the comorbidities point of view, I probably would not.
That's a different story.
Right. But if you've got a younger patient who is rapidly going downhill, I can understand. You're exactly right. If you don't get control of the disease, this patient in the next 2 to 3 months is in big trouble.